Let's talk about Christ the Healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah, Christ the Healer. I attended Rhema Bible College for a short time when I was being prepared for ministry eons ago, and I sat under Kenneth Hagin Sr., extraordinary teacher, just a general of the faith, just an extraordinary man with an extraordinary ministry. And it was there that I truly learned about faith and healing and the benefits of salvation, the benefits of being in a relationship with God. Most of us, you know, we can fact, and we do accept the fact that we're saved by grace and we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and Jesus has set us free and delivered us and all that good stuff. But we don't walk in that same confidence when it comes to healing and when it comes to dealing with infirmities that may be attacking our bodies. The same work on Calvary that saved us is the same work that healed us. It was simultaneously. And there are some benefits that we get, what I call our salvation benefit package. And unfortunately, I think so many Christians don't reckon when Isaiah 53 and 5 the prophet is talking about the stripes that Jesus took on his back. And by his stripes, we are healed, and what that means and what that blood running down that cross symbolized and how that act in that conquering not only the spirit of death, but the spirit of infirmity. We have authority over sickness. We have authority over infirmity. We absolutely do through the blood of Jesus, but that's not something that's really, really taught. And so I wanted to share that information because so many people are sick and sickly. And I believe that, you know, the word tells us that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to steal our days that God has given us, our lives, our health, our strength. And we absolutely can walk in authority in our bodies. And so that's what Christ the Healer is about. Now, learning how to overcome infirmity and walk in the healing that the cross has provided. If he saved us, he healed us.
Our guest, Dana L. Perry. Dana, let's talk about Girls Can Do That.
Oh, Girls Can Do That is a book in my Hannah the Great collection. Hannah the Great books are books that I created for girls between the ages of 3 to 7, and it's to foster healthy self-esteem and awareness. And when I was pregnant with my daughter Hannah, her name is Hannah Alexandria, where I got the name Hannah the Great, and I was shopping for books for her, I couldn't find any books that said what I wanted them to say to her. I was reading to her in the womb, you know, and all I was coming across was stuff about Cinderella and the princess and the frog and cupcakes and sprinkles, and those stories are fine. But if I was going to spend some time reading to her as she was being shaped and formed and molded, I wanted to read something to her that was significant. I wanted to read stories to her about that she was beautiful and fearfully and wonderfully made and purposed and that she can achieve and all of that good stuff. And nothing of the sort existed, so I created it. And Girls Can Do That is the first book in that series. And it's a book declaring to little girls that they can do anything that they set their mind to, that they're not limited by gender, they're not limited by where they live, they're not limited by socioeconomic factors, that they, if God has placed something in their heart and it is something that they want to do, they can achieve it. And what, and of course, I'm a research buff, so I do a lot of research. And while I was researching that, I learned that 70% of girls in our country have low self-esteem.
Wow.
Actually, girls in the United States are considered to be in crisis because of their low self-esteem. And people that work with children know that kids that don't feel good about themselves make really bad decisions. And not only do they make very bad decisions, but they don't do well academically because they don't feel good about themselves. They don't like themselves. I did a story reading in a school, and a 5-year-old girl told me she was fat. How in the world can you be fat at five? You're 5 years old. But the fact that that's where their mind is, and they're looking at these images that they see on TV and in the, on videos and in movies, and that's the standard for beauty for them. And so, you know, when girls particularly do not feel good about themselves, it turns into, or it manifests into, a host of other issues. They become interested in boys because they want the little boy to say, they want to feel validated. So they want to know that they're pretty, that he likes me, that I'm cute. And okay, so now I'm cute and he likes me and I'm pretty. Now I want to please him. So now, you know, when he wants to pinch my booty, it's okay because he says I'm pretty and I'm cute. And so it's that affirmation that they're seeking. And when they start off life like that, it just turns into a host of other issues. So Hannah the Great is my way of trying to turn that tide, break that cycle, to tell girls that they are beautiful and that they are capable and they can achieve, and no matter how they look, what their hair looks like, how long it is, whether it's blonde, whether it's black, whether it's brown, whether, you know, they're round, whether they're slim, that they're beautiful. And so that's what Hannah the Great is about.
Now, you have also written a stage play, The Prodigal Daughter, based upon The Other Woman. How was that?
It was absolutely amazing. It was an amazing show. It's Tony Terry starred in it along with Ed Hartwell and Sylvia Manning. They did an amazing job. I wanted to take the story of The Other Woman and reach more people. And not everyone reads, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I thought adapting a stage play would be another way to get that message out and reach more people. And it was a smashing success, and I'm looking forward to doing more shows.
If I were to spend a day with you, what would I find out about Dana L. Perry that a lot of people don't know?
What they don't know, that I give 100% in everything that I do. I'm either hot or cold. I hate lukewarm. I hate being in the middle. So I'm a little bit of an extremist, I think. And what else? I am very, very, very in much of God's grace daily. I am not delusional. I do not by any means think that wherever people may perceive that I am, that I have arrived or I have some great stuff going on. I am forever conscious of the fact that outside of God's grace and outside of the blood of Jesus, I am filthy. A filthy rag is what the word says. I'm really clear about that.
Wow.
So people would probably be amazed at how much time I spend just being gracious and thankful that I have grace in my life, and I'm not ashamed of it. And you know, people say, "Well, how do you do this? And how did you do that?" God did it. God does the amazing in my life, and it's only because of His grace that I am. And I say all the time, "I am nothing. I am absolutely nothing, and God is absolutely everything." In me and to me.
It is our guest, Dana L. Perry. Dana, I am enjoying this talk with you. We're going to have to wrap things up, which I hate doing. But before I get out of here, want to ask you, how can people get their hands on your books, know more about you? Social media-wise, how can we find you?
You can find me at my website. It's my headquarters, danalperry.com. Everything is there. You can order the books. You can also get them from Amazon. Any ministry events or anything that I have going on will always be posted first at danalperry.com. And, of course, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. And my handle is my name, Dana L. Perry.
Dana, it has been a delight. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, thank you so much. I have enjoyed spending this time with you as well.
It's been a pleasure, Dana. Our guest, Dana L. Perry, inside of the Gospel Spotlight. Dana, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
You too.